You ever watched the show Monk?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You like Monk?
I love Monk.
Yeah.
And so Katie and I have been making our way through Monk again. So,
are you going to impersonate Monk?
Have you ever met a Monk?
Maybe.
I've known
Do you know what I'm talking about, the show Monk?
Well, I have to look it up and find it.
It's a fun show.
He's a detective.
He's a detective. He's got all these phobias and he's OCD. And, anyway, that's funny. He like shows you things at weird times, and we're watching this Monk episode last Saturday, this was Monk and the Nudist Colony or whatever, it's hilarious. But so part of some of Monk's phobias are, you know, hippies and bodies, and so it's just it's quite comical. But he's there's a scene in that so go watch it sometime. Look up Monk and Nudist Colony, and you'll have a kick. But his phobias have won in this case, and it's like he cannot see any positive good in these people at all, this community of people, and so much so that he's actually changing what's true and speaking things that aren't true because he's so overwhelmed by this. And his captain in the show, Leland Stottlemyre, basically tells him, go home. And like, I don't know what's going on with you. He's worked with them. He understands his phobias and his OCD and his, but this is taking you to some other place, you know? Just go home. And he says, but, he goes, no buts. And he holds up his badge. He goes, I don't have to agree with them, but this means I take care of them. Mm. And you can see it go inside. In the show, there's a secondary storyline of him overcoming that. It's really, it got me thinking. Monk in the Nudist Camp got me thinking. I mean, yeah, this is my angelisms, you know. It's like, this guy's like, ooh. It's like, and you're like, oh, what is that about? I don't know. But most of us, or since humanity's, ever had recorded history of humanity, we're sort of a what you see is what you get kind of people of the understanding of the world, right? Things seem rather fixed or predictable. Here you go. I'm hunting buffalo. When I throw my spear, it goes. Every time I throw my spear this way, it hits that target. Every time I shoot my arrow, it hit, right? And I don't know why, but I know when I do these things, this happens. Okay? And in fact, you could be right every single time. I figured it out. I do this, this, this. That's the result. Okay. Then this guy comes on the scene. This guy named Isaac Newton. Okay. He's Cambridge trained. He's a mathematician. He's a physicist. So now we're in the 1600s, late 1600s, right? And he writes this, I don't know what you call it, his opus, right? It's like
Principium
Mathematica or something, right? Yeah. I don't know how you say it in Latin.
No, that was right.
Okay. Say it again,
Principium Mathematica,
right? And in it, he describes why that arrow does this every time. Really, he sits here and he talks about observable phenomena. He talks about laws of motion, and we're engineers, and in it, right, these are things that we would call classical mechanics. So in our education, we went to thermodynamics, we had fluid dynamics, we had vector dynamics, and it's all describing, you know,
observable stuff.
Observable stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's what fluids do. Here's what temperature, you know, heat and transfer but does. And here's what a machine does when this thing does this and the plow does this. Okay. Oh, by the way, the guy created some math to describe it. Calculus. Okay. And and all of it, you're like, it described all this. It gave us answers for all this. It helped us like put some math to it, right? So this is your first, no way, okay?
No way,
right? Did it change the guy shooting his arrow? No. He knew I do this, and this, I'm gonna do it. But it, now I could tell you why. I could describe it, okay? So it didn't stop the world, but it gave us this thing. We call them Newtonian physics, right? And you go, okay, I get it all, right? I get it. Now, that's all understandable. Sort of, right? Because then a couple hundred years later, there's this German physicist, right? His name was
Maxwell.
Max Planck, right? And by the way, Maxwell Planck wasn't like a disruptor. He wasn't like, I'm gonna show you, okay? He was, in fact, his research was pretty innocent, right? And he had a question. He called, it's kind of simple. It's like, hey, how come metal, when it's heated up, right, as it gets hotter, it glows with different colors? Mm-hmm. Right? It kind of starts yellow, and then it goes white, and then when it's really, really hot, it goes blue. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. So he writes this thing up in the 1900-ish, okay? And
is that Planck's theory?
So hold on to that.
Okay.
Planck's black body radiation. Yep.
So he's just trying to, again, what's going on here? Because all those Newton laws didn't tell me nothing about that. All those Newtonian physics didn't tell me. And you're like, and all of a sudden the whole world went, whoa, no. Kind of sat quiet for about 100 years. And all of a sudden they go, you know that guy Planck, and he had this thing about metal glowing, and right? It created this stir. And all of a sudden it's like people could point back to that 1900 thing that Maxwell did. And all of a sudden we have this new physics born. We called it quantum physics, particle physics. And so you could say, you know, this was another, right, moment. Because all of a sudden you're realizing, hey, all that world we thought we understood, the what you see is what you get world of Newton, not going to describe it, Planck, and this quantum physics kind of stuff said, there's actually a bunch of stuff happening here that you can't see. It's actually so small, we can't observe it. Remember, Newton's like, I can look at this stuff and I can model it. All of a sudden, I've got this stuff and you're like, what? There's things I can't see? Well, as you start getting into it, you realize not only can't you see it, but it's pretty chaotic. And seemingly random. And you're like, wait a minute. So all my life I believed this thing was true. Newton had it. Now I got this other thing that says this is true. Wait a minute, is this not true anymore? No, that's true. Oh, wait, right, that's true, that's more true. All right, so what's happening? We're going, right? It's like, wait a minute, I just had it all together. I figured out this is how the world works. I figured out how things relate to each other. I figured out how things to connect. I've got laws now that describe it, and we all agree this is true, right? And somebody comes up and says, there's some more to the story. Okay. Right? Because sometimes our minds like to settle on, I get it. We like to settle on, oh good, when this happens, this will always happen. We like to settle on rules and laws that are explainable, right? By the way, that quantum physics stuff, all of a sudden, it makes you start, you could use the word faith, because you have to start trusting and believing in things that you can't see very well. And another whole other storyline someday, you want to go get in to figure out how all this AI stuff works. And the kind of computers they had to make to do this kind of stuff. You start getting into the I can't see it kind of computers in computing. If we didn't have quantum physics and all that other kind of stuff, we wouldn't be able to do this kind of crazy computing we're doing for AI. Anyway, just another thing, right? But what do you see when what you see is what you get gets challenged? And it sort of, somebody says that's not true anymore, or there's more to the story, right? So now enter Simon Peter. Okay. So if you and I were to sit here and describe Simon Peter, I would start at, you know, Jesus, him dropping his nets and following Jesus, right? Massive shift, because all of a sudden, Peter's got this thing where I live this way, and Peter couldn't even, at the time, really explain it other than what's going on here, right? Which is something inside went chunk. He's watching, and by the way, you know, the Jesus, throw your nets to the other side and see something he's never seen before in his life as a fisherman, and has this crazy no way moment, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna do what he does, and for that, from that day forward, you can say, well, everything changed for him. He's got new laws, he's got new truths. Those truths are superseding the old ones. Those things that always governed his life, all of a sudden he's got this thing, this, let's call it the law of love, that Jesus is mentoring him in this close relationship they've got together, right? You've got these, I have all these time-honored beliefs about how we do church, and now I'm on a hillside watching what happens with fish and loaves of bread, and you're like, What do I do with this? And he starts to understand miracles and abundance, and it's like, I get it. And he's growing more and more, and you're like, he's changed. Yay, Peter. And you're like, well, he's changed, but there's still more, right? And so this is my monk and the nudist.
We're back to that.
At the monk and the nudist. Because Peter's, he's had all this wonderful experience of being with Jesus, and he's seen these miracles, right? Acts chapter 10 goes on to describe this moment for Peter. He's like Planck, Maxwell Planck. He's not out to change anything. Scripture says he's literally hungry. Starving, he's hungry, and food's being prepared. It says he goes up to the rooftop to pray. Okay, if you will, I'm going to read about half the chapter, because I started to think about summarizing. I thought, no, let's just kind of read it. Scripture, let scripture tell us what it's going to tell us here, right? The next day around noon, As Cornelius' men were approaching Joppa, Peter went up to the flat roof of the house to pray. He was hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he entered into another realm. As the heavenly realm opened up, he saw something resembling a large linen tablecloth that descended from above, being let down to the earth by its four corners. As it floated down, he saw that it held many kinds of four-footed animals, reptiles, and wild birds. A voice said to him, "Peter, go and prepare them to be eaten." Peter replied, "No way." Okay, no way. Did he go? By the way, I think as this goes on, I think it goes from no to no way. Right? Peter says, "No way. There's no way I can do that. Lord, I've never eaten anything forbidden or impure according to our Jewish laws." The voice spoke again. "Nothing is unclean if God declares it to be clean." The vision was repeated 3 times. I've seen this pattern before. Vision's repeated 3 times. You see God saying, "Do this. Oh, do this. Oh, do this. No."
No way.
No way. Seriously? Seriously? Right? Suddenly, the sheep was snatched back up into the heavens. Peter was so stunned by the vision that he couldn't stop wondering about what it all meant. Meanwhile, Cornelius' men had learned where Peter was staying, and at that same moment, they were standing outside the gate. They called out to those in the house, "Is this where Simon the Rock is staying?" As Peter was in deep thought, trying to interpret the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Go downstairs now, for 3 men are looking for you. Don't hesitate to go with them, because I've sent them." Peter went downstairs to the men and said, "I believe I'm the one you're looking for. What brings you here?" They answered, "We serve Cornelius, a Roman military captain who sent us to find you. He's a devout man of the highest integrity who worships God and is respected throughout the Jewish community. He was divinely instructed through the appearance of an angel to summon you to his home and to listen to the message that you would bring him." Peter invited them to stay for the night as his guests. The next morning they departed, accompanied by some of the believers from Joppa. The next day they arrived in Caesarea, where Cornelius was waiting anxiously for them, and had gathered together all of his relatives and close friends. The moment Peter walked into the door, Cornelius fell at his feet to worship him. But Peter pulled him to his feet and said, "Stand up, for I'm only a man and no different from you." They talked together and then went inside, where Peter found a large gathering waiting to hear his words. Peter said to them, "You all know that it's against the Jewish law for me to associate with or even visit the home of one who is not a Jew. Yet God has shown me that I should never view anyone as inferior or ritually unclean. So when you sent for me, I came without objection. Now may I ask you, why did you send for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, I was fasting and praying here in my home at this very hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a man in glistening clothing suddenly appeared in front of my eyes. He said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayers. Your generosity to the poor has been recorded and remembered in God's presence. However, you must send for a man named Simon the Rock, who is staying in Joppa as a guest of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So immediately I sent my men to bring you here, and you were kind enough to come. And now here we all of us, in God's presence, anxious to hear the message that God has put into your heart to share with us. Peter said, now I know for certain that God doesn't show favoritism with people, but treats everyone on the same basis. It makes no difference what race of people one belongs. If they show deep reverence for God, they're committed to doing what's right, they're acceptable to him. God sent his word to the Jewish people first, and now it's saying the wonderful news of hope and peace through Jesus, the anointed one, the Lord of all. You are well aware of all that began in Galilee and spread throughout the land of Israel immediately after John preached the message of baptism. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil, for God had anointed them. We apostles were eyewitnesses to all the miracles that he performed throughout the land of Israel. Finally, in Jerusalem, he was crucified on a cross. But God raised him from the dead 3 days later, allowing him to be seen openly. He didn't appear to everyone, but he appeared to us, his chosen witnesses. He actually ate and drank with us after he rose from the dead. Jesus ordered us to preach and warn the people that God had appointed him to bring to be the judge of the living and the dead. And not only us, but all of the prophets agree in their writings that everyone who believes in him receives complete forgiveness of sins through the power of his name. Right? Crowd's like, listen. Right? While Peter is speaking, they've done nothing but come to Cornelius' house, not Jewish. They're the outcasts, according to the law, right? While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit cascaded over all those listening to his message. The Jewish brothers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on people who weren't Jews. No way! For they heard them speaking in supernaturally given languages and passionately praising God. Peter said, how could anyone object to these people being baptized, for they've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he instructed them to be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One. After they're baptized, they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. It's like, we have crazy models in our religious. All they did was like sit and hear the story of Jesus. They did nothing to go fix yourself, to clean yourself up, get on your knees and repent, da 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 da. And Jesus falls on them. Right? Book of Acts. That was Acts 10. The beginning of the book of Acts. Jesus shows up. I mean, when Jesus takes his leave from the disciples, right, he gives them this final command. What's the command? Go, right? Go into all the world. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Go to all the ends of the earth and continue this work that I've done, right? And you're like, wait a minute, because you just told me to go to a country I'm not supposed to go to. Not because it's hard to get to, but because prior to this moment, the Gentile world was off limits. We got rules, right? That's the home of the unclean masses, right? And you get this, no way, you know. Are you sure about this, Jesus? And Jesus said, yep. A little bit later, in just a couple, before we have this episode with Peter on the rooftop, there's this voice that talks to Philip. And he tells him, hey, there's this Ethiopian eunuch here. And right, he's a Gentile man from Africa. So his race is radically different than theirs. You could say his religion is profane according to their rules, their patterns. You might even say his sexuality is ambiguous. Okay. Are you sure about this, God? Right? And God says, baptize him. Okay. What about a while later in Acts, just before Peter's vision, this voice calls Ananias and says, go lay hands on Saul. Remember Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul? And you're like, because Ananias, go pray for him, he's blind. His eyes have been closed. Go pray that he'd be healed. Right? So here we go. A man, Saul, who's violently, ruthlessly persecuting members of this new way, Jesus followers, right? This community of love and peace, and says, go pray for this man. So you're Ananias, like, are you sure about this, God?
No way.
No way. I will not, God. I will not. No way. I will not. God says, yeah, I do. I want you to go pray for him. Lay your hands on him. I want you to open his eyes, blind eyes. But God, his history, his past, he's pretty sketchy. Right? Yeah, no, do it anyway. It's like there's no one beyond the range of my love, my mercy, my grace. Right? It's like this, my arms are pretty big. And my welcome is huge. Do it. And we have this thing with Peter on the rooftop. It's like, so here we are. I got my Newtonian physics, my quantum physics. Here's how it works, right, God? Here are the rules, right, God? I've been instructed since a child. I've heard the preacher, I've heard the priest, right, God? Right? And I'm in my morning devotion. I'm in my car ride. I'm sitting having coffee and the voice of God comes and says, what to you? What's your Ananias moment? What's your Philip moment? What's your Peter moment, right? But you said, no, it can't be true. What? It can't be true. I don't know what the voice is saying to you. But I look at just in this few sections, just few chapters, right? And it's like, no, what? So I believe there's a bunch of no's still in me. That I say he's gooder than good. he's better than the best. He loves more than the greatest lover. That's it. You know, have I peaked? Have I plateaued? Have I, what's stuck up here? That stops me from praying for that one. What stops me from saying yes to that one, for accepting that one? I go to social media and try to manage this. You're gonna have a really complicated time. Because there's a bunch of, you're a heretic, you're a this, you're a that, you're a Jezebel, you're a this, you're a that, right? It's all out there. And yet, here we have, go into all the world tell them how much I love them. Oh yeah, and show them. Oh yeah, baptize them. Right? And I just want to. I'm getting tired of turning on news or reading articles that watches we're supposed to be the champions of love. And sometimes we look brutal. We're eating our own, you know, in the church, you know, this church of hitting that church, and these, it's like, sometimes I just want to go, stop! It's like, just love people. And I don't even know how to end this, other than
it doesn't end.
But other than that's my again, the monk in the nudist camp, you know, where he learned to realize that these are good people and they care, and I've got phobias and I've got things about me that doesn't want to connect with them at all, and I think there's things inside of us that we're learning to be better connectors. We're learning to be better lovers, better listeners. So how about we just say it this way? Holy Spirit, like, has an ask of you. I believe that. Holy Spirit has an ask of you. Like, your ask is probably different than my ask, I bet. It's all destined to make you more like him. You know, it's part of your, growing in love and growing to be like him. And so I just invite Holy Spirit's wisdom this week. We just invite the gift of dreaming this week. God, that you speak to us. God, I just want to boldly say, can you make it clear? God, I just want to hear your voice. I want to know your words. I want to know what the ask is. Danny, go do this. And God, I pray for the strength to respond. The privilege to grow into a yes. God, I pray you would love me, love us, through our fears of our yes. we want to have stories and testimonies of our no way moments. God, that was the day that, you know, my heart grew, you know, two sizes. So God, we say yes to that. We say thank you for that. We appreciate your word. God, we're so in love with your word. It teaches us and it heals us. It instructs us so wonderfully, God. So thank you for your word. Thank you for Acts, the book of Acts. God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.